lovely sunny Lanrimney. Always shines in Lanrimney, doesn't it, the sun? They're wrong. We have to stop them. We need to stop these people because what they're teaching is wrong. In fact, we need to get rid of them. That's how it all began for this man. His name was Paul. At least that was his Greek Roman name. He also had a Jewish name, and that was Saul, named after the famous king of Israel. But Saul, or Paul, who became one of the most famous followers of Jesus of all time, hadn't always been a follower of Jesus. And I want to look at how he became a follower of Jesus, but also to think about the people that helped him on his journey. As I said, he hadn't always been a follower of Jesus. He lived in Jerusalem, although he'd been born in a city called Tarsus, which is in today's Turkey. And he had gone to Jerusalem to study the Bible, because Paul wanted to please God. He wanted to follow God's way. And he became an expert in the Bible, and he thought he knew the way to follow God and to please God. You need to follow all the rules, Paul would say. Let me paint him for you. Here he is outside Jerusalem. And he would say, like the other Pharisees, you need to follow all the rules that God gave Moses, and all the other rules that have been made up as well to help us make sure that we don't break the rules that Moses gave us. But you know something? Just following rules can't make you a friend of God, even though a lot of people think so. One day, Saul came face to face with one of the followers of Jesus. His name was Stephen. The Bible says he was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He went around teaching people about Jesus and doing amazing miracles in the name of Jesus. The other Jewish religious people argued with him, saying, "You're wrong, we're right." Maybe even Paul argued with him, saying, "You're wrong, we're right." But they couldn't stand against Stephen and his arguments. Stephen stood up in front of them and he gave them a long talk, showing them that he knew the Bible just as well as they did. If you want to read it in the Bible, it's in Acts chapter 7. And then he said, "The problem with you people is you actually, although you know the Bible, you never want to listen to what God's Holy Spirit said. And when he sent his Savior, you put him to death on the cross. That's enough. Get rid of that man. We don't want to hear any more." So what they did, they dragged Stephen outside of the city. And there was a great crowd of people around him, saying, "That man's a heretic, blasphemer. We need to get rid of him." And do you know what they began to do? They began to throw stones at him. "Kill him," they said. Saul was there. Now, I don't know if he was throwing any of the stones, but he certainly agreed with what they were doing. Isn't that awful that they were stoning him? Just because he was a follower of Jesus. But sometimes it's not easy to follow Jesus. And Saul said, "That's right, get rid of him. He's wrong." But just before Stephen died, he said two things that I'm sure stuck in Paul's mind. First of all, he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then the second thing that he said was this: "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." In other words, forgive them for what they're doing. The That was the last thing that Stephen said before he died. Can you think of somebody else that said something similar before he died? That's right. On the cross, wasn't it? When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." So right to the end, Stephen was showing himself to be a true friend and follower of Jesus. I don't think Stephen ever realized it, but I'm sure what he did spoke to Saul. He spoke through this, his example. And you might not think, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you're very good at speaking to people. You might not think, well, I don't know the Bible that well. I'm not very good at arguing with people. I always get muddled up when I say things. But you know what? Something that you can do to speak to people is to speak to them through your example, through the way that you live your life. Like Stephen, he was faithful to Jesus in following Jesus. He put his trust in Jesus and he forgave others when they did wrong to him. And by showing God's love to others, by doing good, by living out your life faithfully, trusting Jesus, your example can speak to other people. The other week, we were on the streets of Cardiff telling people about Jesus, and somebody came along on a bicycle and he said, "Listen to these people, because they do what they say." And that man had been in the night shelter that some of the churches in Cardiff, including this church, helped with. And because of the kindness that he received in the night shelter, he was able to say, "These people, what they say is true, because they live out what they are talking about." And that can be the same for us. Our example can speak to others. And maybe today, perhaps you're not yet a Christian, but you know from seeing the example of other people that what they're saying makes a difference in their life. Well, sadly, Saul, at least immediately, didn't take much note of Stephen's example, or so it seemed. In fact, he was even more determined to get rid of the Christians and stop them. And so he went around Jerusalem trying to find followers of Jesus, having them arrested, trying to make them deny Jesus and turn away from following him. And then, as a result of that, lots of the Christians left the city and spread out to other places where they'd be safe. So Saul said, "I'm going after them." So he got permission from the high priest to go to another place called Damascus to find any people there who are followers of Jesus, have them arrested, and bring them back to Jerusalem. But things were going to change all of a sudden for Saul. He was on his way to Damascus, which was about 150 miles from Jerusalem, maybe about 5 days' journey. And as he got near to Damascus, it was the middle of the day. Most people in the middle of the day in that hot country, they'd be resting, they'd be sleeping, but not Saul. He was on a mission. He wanted to get rid of those Christians. And then all of a sudden, there was a bright light that shone from heaven. So bright that it was brighter than the sun. It knocked Saul to the ground. There he was on the ground, covering his eyes, no doubt, from the brightness. And then he heard a voice speaking to him clearly. Other people heard the sound, but they didn't recognize the voice. And this is what the voice said: "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you hurting me? Who are you, Lord?" said Saul, and the voice came back, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. All of a sudden, Saul realized something. He realized it was true what he'd been heard. He knew that Jesus died on the cross, but he knew that the followers of Jesus had said, Jesus died, but 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Jesus is alive. And now he realized it was true. Jesus was alive. And he also realized something else. He thought he'd been right, and the followers of Jesus had been wrong. But now all of a sudden, he realized he was wrong, and the followers of Jesus were right. He'd been trying to capture Christians, but actually he didn't realize that Jesus was out to capture him, and he had captured him. What happened to Saul was something amazing, something that we would call a miracle. And some people say, well, that's never happened to me. But you know, nobody can become a true friend and follower of Jesus without God doing a miracle. It might be something dramatic, or it might be something quiet that happens in our life. But you know, becoming a friend and follower of Jesus is not just learning about Jesus or learning about the Bible. Saul knew all about the Bible. He had heard about Jesus. But then one day, he met Jesus. And if you're to become a true friend and follower of Jesus, it means that you have a personal experience of coming to know Jesus in your life. When God speaks to you, maybe through reading the Bible, God speaks to you. Maybe through hearing a message being preached, you know that God is speaking to you. He's calling your name, and he wants you to turn around from going your way to going God's way. And every one of us here today, as a true friend and follower of Jesus, can say that I know that in my life, God has worked and he's changed my life. Just like he changed Saul. Because in every one of us, there's something like Saul. You might say, well, I don't hate Christians. I never hated Christians. I was ever nasty to Christians. And that's probably true. But there's something in every one of us that wants to go our own way instead of going Jesus' way. And it's only when Jesus speaks to us and shows us that we're going the wrong way that we turn around and put our trust in him. And you know what? Even today, God is changing people like Saul. Some of you older ones might know that there was a famous atheist. He only died just a couple of years ago, called Christopher Hitchens. And he wrote books against believing in God, or at least one famous book. But you know, he had a brother, Peter, who is still alive. And he too, when he was a teenager, decided he was going to become an atheist. And in fact, he tried to burn a Bible that he had to show how much he didn't believe in God and how he was an atheist. But you know what? Gradually, God began to work on his life. And one day, he was going around Europe and he went into a big cathedral somewhere in Europe and he saw a picture, a painting of the final judgment, when one day Jesus will come again and some people will be taken to heaven and some people will be sent to hell. And as he looked at that picture, he began to think about his own life. He began to think, my goodness, I could be among the people that are going to hell. And God spoke to him through that picture. Now, it wasn't as dramatic as Saul, because there were many other things in his life that gradually turned him around. But God today is changing people just like He changed Saul. And some of us, me included, so often we have such little faith. Oh, me a little faith. We look at somebody and think, oh, that person, they'll never become a Christian. They'll never become a follower of Jesus. Well, just remember Paul, who was so opposed to Jesus, and yet God changed him. Nobody is beyond God reaching out to them and changing them. That's one of the things that this story tells us. Anyway, back to Paul. There he was. He'd heard Jesus speaking to him. And Jesus said, go into the city and it will be told you what you will do. So he had to be led into the city, because after seeing that bright light, the Bible says he was blinded. So they took him to the city, and he went to a house, no doubt the house where he was planning to stay when he got there. And the Bible tells us that for 3 days, he didn't eat or drink anything. In fact, he just took time praying. Meanwhile, also in Damascus, there was another man called Ananias. Now, Ananias was a follower of Jesus. And one day, while this was happening, Jesus spoke to Ananias and said, Ananias, he said, yes, Lord, I want you to go to this house on Straight Street in Damascus, and there is a man called Saul, and I want you to pray for him. Now, Ananias had heard all about Paul, Saul, and he knew what he was trying to do. Arrest the Christians and take them to Jerusalem and put them in prison. He said, Lord, this man, he's done terrible things. But Jesus said, go, because I've chosen him to be my servant. And so Ananias, I'm sure he was pretty frightened, but he knew it was best to listen to what Jesus said. And he headed off to the house. And when he got to the house, he said, is there someone called Saul here? They said, yes. And he went in to the room and he said, Saul, you're my brother. Welcome into God's family. I know that Jesus has met you. Jesus has spoken to you. And Ananias then laid hands on Saul and prayed for him, that he'd be able to see again and he'd be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And right then and there, Saul was baptized as a follower of Jesus. That's the first sign, or the first act of obedience, of becoming a follower of Jesus. Have you been baptized? If you say you're a follower of Jesus, Saul didn't wait 2 years or 3 years to be baptized. Straight away, he got baptized as a follower of Jesus. And so should you, if you want to be a follower of Jesus. Anyway, we don't hear anything else about Ananias in the Bible. And yet, he had such an important part to play in Saul's life, in Paul's life. And I want to say, the key thing about Ananias is another key thing that every one of us can do when it comes to serving God and helping others. He was a person of prayer, wasn't he? He prayed for Saul, but also earlier he'd been listening. Prayer is not just talking to God and telling God what we want and what we think, but it's also listening to God. And Ananias was someone who listened to God and was willing to do what God wanted. Prayer is the way that God has chosen to work in the world. This week, around the world, many Muslim people are going to be praying fasting. And they're hoping that through praying and fasting, they can earn their way to heaven. Just like Saul thought that through following all the rules, he could earn his way to heaven. But 23 years ago, an initiative was started called 30 Days of Prayer for the Muslim World. And Christians around the world began to pray during Ramadan for Muslim people that they would come to know Jesus. Do you know what's happened? In the last 20 years, more than 70 different places around the world, there have been groups of Muslims that have become followers of Jesus. Now, when I talk about groups of Muslims, I'm not talking about small groups of Muslim background people. I'm talking about, in each place, over 1,000 Muslim background people or 100 churches planted in 70 different places around the world. And that number is growing. Why is that? Could it be that prayer made a difference? You might say, well, I can't do much to help others come to Jesus, but you can pray. You can be like Ananias. From that point, for Saul, who became Paul, there was no turning back. Immediately, he went out telling others about Jesus. He did take some time alone with God in the desert. And then it seems he came back to Damascus and he wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, that Jesus was the Son of God. He was a little bit disappointed, I think, that not everybody believed him. I'm sure he thought, you know, such a great miracle has happened to me. Now I know it's true that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is God's Son. Some people listened, but many people didn't. In fact, they decided that they were going to get rid of Saul. Saul, who had been trying to get rid of the Christians, was now telling people about Jesus, and the Jewish leaders decided they were going to try and get rid of him. And actually, they arranged for guards to be put around the whole city so that he couldn't escape. They were determined to get rid of him. How is he going to get out? There was nothing he could do except that some people decided to help him. Some of those that had become followers of Jesus because of what they had heard Paul say decided they were going to help Paul to escape. And so at night, what they did, they found a place on the city wall where they couldn't be seen. And they put Saul in a basket. And they lowered him down over the city wall so that he could escape. After that, Saul preached all around the world, telling people about Jesus. We don't know who these people were that helped Paul escape. But I'm sure when later on they heard about all the great things that Paul was doing around the world, they would have been able to think, I remember him. I helped him over the wall. I was one of the people that lowered the basket. And now look at the great things that Paul is doing for God. And I think that has a lesson for us. As I said, we don't even know the names of these people. At least we know who Ananias was. At least we know who Stephen was. But we don't know the name of the people that held the ropes. But they had an important job to do, didn't they? They were able to help Saul when he needed help. Is there a work for Jesus you can do? I'm sure there is. You can help in some small way. You do help in lots of ways, I'm sure. You help us as a church in our work because you give money to the work that Amy and I do in schools and on the streets, telling people about Jesus around Cardiff and other places. So we want to say thank you for your giving. Maybe some of you think, well, I could give a bit more to the work of Siloam Church. That's some small way that I can help. I don't have much time because I'm very busy with my family, my work. But you say, I earn a wage, so I can help by giving money to the church. Or some of you say, I could help more. All the different practical things that go on in the church. Now, sometimes it's only a few people that end up helping, not just in this church, but in every church, sadly. There's always room for more helpers, isn't there? And you might not get your name recognized, but it doesn't really matter. God knows who these people were that helped Paul escape. And they had a small part to play in the great work that he ended up doing for God. So, the story of Paul and how he became a follower of Jesus is really important. So important, in fact, that it is written three times in the book of Acts. But just as important, I think, for those of us who are friends and followers of Jesus is the other people that had an impact on Saul. Stephen, through his example. Ananias, who went to pray for him. And then those unknown believers that helped him in his time of need. What can we do for Jesus this week to help others? Who knows, even this week, you might meet someone that might end up being like Paul. You might have a small part to play in him or her coming to know Jesus. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, maybe you say, yes, through what I've seen, through the example of others, or through other people praying for me, I know that I need to put my trust in Jesus too, like Paul did. And if that's you, come and talk to us afterwards. Happy to pray with you, and you can make that commitment. Thanks for listening. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the great example of the Apostle Paul. Lord, as we read the Bible, he did so many amazing things in his life because you chose him with a special job to do. But yet there were these other people, not so famous, and yet they had an important part to play in his life. And Lord, help us to think about what it is that you have for us to do through praying or helping or even just through living our lives as an example to others. We pray that we might somehow help others to come to know you. In your name we pray. Amen.